you think the setup is different today? How is it different? What's different? The microphone is now directly in front of the scalloped drapery. That wasn't that way before. Okay, well, I don't know. You're paying more attention to it than I am. Martin Zender, once again, on location from Pinehurst, North Carolina, and we're doing what we can here. I wanted to give credit to the two books that are underneath my microphone holding it up. You can't see that. And am I going to allow you to see it? I don't know. I don't want you. This would be really behind the scenes. I'm not sure you're ready for this. I got Bob Dylan's autobiography, Chronicles, Volume 1. And in combination with Bob Dylan, we have the Book of Herbal Teas. And the subtitle of that book is A Guide to Gathering, Brewing, and Drinking. This is Herbal Teas now. So we have Herbal Teas and Bob Dylan contributing to bring you the Revelation series on this Thursday. So thanks for joining me. We had a couple more visitors here. I want to mention it. Besides Tony Joyner, remember him, Tony Joyner? I love that guy, Tony Joyner. He came here with, what was that guy's name? That's a joke. Oh, crap. Yeah, Philip Garrison. We also had, Jan was here along with Sally. Sally and Jan. Jan Mullins. Interesting story with Jan. I was here 3 years ago, and Ann Brechtelsbauer, the hostess here, she took me to tea. You see, we have tea in Pinehurst at 4 p.m. at the Pinehurst Hotel, and we drink it with extended pinkies, we do. And who is serving tea but Jan Mullins? Never met her before. And, of course, Ann is quite a promoter of me and my books to the point that I'm practically crawling under a table. Like, stop, Ann, stop. Stop talking about how wonderful I am and how great my books are, which is all true. But, you know, I get a little uncomfortable after 30 minutes of it. But anyway, she did a better job, does a better job than I do of promotion. I'm quite shy, as you know. And so Jan became interested, and I just written First Idiot in Heaven, and Jan was interested in it because she asked me what was it about, and I said, it's about the Apostle Paul. And she said, well, that sounds interesting. And I had gathered that Jan went to church, but I thought, well, you might not like my version of the Apostle Paul. She goes, no, I want the book. So, of course, Ann raced out and got one. She has them stockpiled, you see. And so I gave the book to Jan, signed copy, and she got it, man. It's been so great. She's a member of the body of Christ, and she dug it. She's read the book twice, and so she came over with some questions with Sally, and we had a great time of fellowship. So the believers are pouring in here. There's been a total of four. But, you know, that's a crowd in our group. So I would like to acknowledge Jan and Sally. Now, Christianity is the number one exporter of arms in the world. All right? By far. And I don't think that even the United States realizes why it's building this many arms. It's, of course, paranoid, as I discussed earlier, but the whole world is paranoid, and there are people who want these arms because nobody trusts anybody anymore. And one of the characteristics, the main characteristic of the westernmost beast of Daniel is its iron teeth and copper claws. Now, this is why you can't find this anywhere in nature. You ever seen any kind of beast that has iron teeth, copper claws? It's ferocious. It tears. These are a little funny way of saying arms, weaponry. Because if you're Daniel, God just doesn't speak plainly, does he? He doesn't say F-16s. Doesn't say shoulder-launched bazookas. He doesn't say the United States. Wouldn't that be nice if Scripture just came out and says the United States of America and put names in there like Hitler and Obama? Oh, everybody would know it then. And the fun little game we're playing, it is kind of that, wouldn't be fun anymore. So now we follow a trail of breadcrumbs, but it's there for the people who want to know about it. So Christianity, this is their number one, I believe, the number one negative thing can be said about them is they have this form of power. form of devoutness, but deny the power. Now, this is interesting because this is from 2 Timothy 3:1. Form of devoutness, deny the power. Paul said that this would be one of the number one characteristics of the last days. Perilous periods will be present. Perilous periods. Perilous is ferocious. And the characteristic of these characteristics are form of devoutness, deny the power. Deny the power. But if you would look at a surface view of the United States, you would see power, power, power. All we have is power. We have stockpiles of power. We have so much left over that we can sell it to the rest of the world. But true power is seen in spiritual matters. But there's no room for that in the Western religion that is the monstrous, because it's armed and it feels it has to be protected. I mean, I really don't understand people who feel they have to carry a gun everywhere. They're dropping off their kids at the library, they take a gun. They're at the playground, they take a gun. They're at Walmart, they take a gun. I mean, I don't understand it. It's like, you know, what? You have to be a little bit paranoid. I'm just trying to protect myself, Martin. Well, yeah. But the Spirit of God protects us. It doesn't mean I'm stupid. I mean, I put my seatbelt on and things like that. So it's not like I'm driving in my car saying, the Spirit of God is going to protect me. And I flaunt the laws. It's perfectly legal to carry a concealed weapon. I don't have a problem with it. Again, I'm all for it. But there seems to me to be an air of paranoia about it. And I go back to the Y2K panic time, and you can guess what I did. Again, I didn't do anything. And there's this paranoia, especially today, that everybody's out to get you. And the United States especially is this way. But true power, we saw at the cross of Christ. That's real power. What armament did our Lord fight Satan with? The same armament David fought Goliath with. And there's your case right there. Well, it's true. David was armed. He had a concealed weapon, a slingshot. I'll give you that. But Saul wanted to arm him to the hilt. With a hilt and a sword, armor, everything. He wanted to weigh him down. Probably with a shoulder-launched bazooka, maybe an M16 rifle, and air cover. I'm sure if Saul had that at his disposal, that's what he would have used. Oh, let me show you this. Here's the number one arms dealers in the world. I'm at a site here called, I don't know if you've heard it, Wikipedia. Number one supplier. This was a 2014 rank, the United States, by far. Next is Russia, then China, then France, Germany, United Kingdom, Israel. You think Israel is only a importer, but they're not. They're exporters. Spain, Italy, Ukraine, Netherlands. The Netherlands? I thought they exported marijuana. The Netherlands, huh? I thought they just sat around and got stoned out there. Sorry, that's my stereotype teaching. I'm just kidding all you people out there in the Netherlands. That's a joke. I'm just surprised that you export arms. That's all. Switzerland? I thought they were Mr. and Mrs. Neutral out there. Turkey and Canada? Okay, they must export slingshots to the David types. I don't know. But if you are going to supply arms, then you need a world that needs to receive arms. And here is a list of the world's largest importers. Number one, Saudi Arabia. Number two, India. Then Turkey, China. China imports its own exports? This is interesting. China was one of the number one exporters, and now they're also an importer. Okay, that's like putting a humidifier and a dehumidifier in the same room and letting them fight it out. Not sure I get that. Vietnam, I do get that. Taiwan, United Arab Emirates, Australia. Yeah, you Aussies don't have, you don't make many weapons down there, do you? Oman, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq. Okay, and the U.S. does supply weapons to Iraq and Morocco. So there's the epic list. So iron teeth, copper claws, there's big business in this. Big business, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts with the West. Now here's a question I'd like to pose to you in light of Christianity being the monstrous, the Western religions. How few Christians are there really who are compelled to live under an alien religion? And that's why we're arming ourselves, possibly. Is that we don't want to live under a foreign religion. And yet, I go back to Babylon and to Daniel, God sent his people into Babylon for their discipline, and that was an alien religion. The Israelites did not flaunt their religion. They did whatever the law allowed, but they kept it in their hearts. And few are willing to do that. I've told you before that had I been in the American colonies during the days of the Revolution, I would have been fine being under King George. Because my jurisdiction, the jurisdiction that's over me, is from heaven. It's not based on earth. So I'm a spectator watching these things. My fealty, there is a sense in which I'm to be loyal to the United States, but not to the point of picking up a weapon and shooting people who are coming to take us over. I won't stop people who want to protect us, and I might even be thankful for it, but I myself will not do it because I'm a man of peace. I would be a conscientious objector. I would put on my Amish beard. You know, when the draft board called me up, I put on my Amish beard. I would have to shave my mustache, and I would say, I can't fight in the war. I'm too busy making pies and driving my buggy over hill and dale. I would not do it. A united Christendom will bring the earth under subjection. And really, doesn't need necessarily to explode these weapons, to use these weapons, just the threat that the weapons are there. It's like you're pointing behind you. It's like, see that? Yeah. All right. You see that back there? You see that big thing with the nuclear symbol on it? Yeah. Yeah. You might want to do what we say. So it's the, you know, the MAD principle, mutual assured destruction, the Cold War scenario, where Russia and the U.S. had their own stockpiled nukes, and just the knowledge that it was there kept things at bay. So I suppose there's something to be said for that logically. But when we're looking at the end times, we're looking at a really dire, ugly hypocrisy that we claim to be a nation founded on the principles of Jesus Christ. And yet, I do not find Jesus Christ packing heat. No, I do not find Jesus Christ with an ammo belt slung over his shoulder with a few hundred rounds. In fact, when his enemies came to get him, he told the people who had weapons to put them away. There you go. You and I can do that because we understand the conciliation. But nations can't do it because they don't trust each other. And maybe they shouldn't. But there's a difference I always like to point out between a national policy and a personal policy. I can't dictate the national policies. I can dictate my own personal policies, and I can be at peace with anyone because God has made peace with me. That's why we are taken out before God declares war. Our weapons, Paul says, are spiritual. We do have weapons. They're spiritual. They're invisible. They're very powerful, Paul says, for the pulling down of bulwarks. Bulwarks are large defensive walls. We are the most powerful beings in the universe, but not because we have a giant metal thing behind us with a nuclear symbol on it, but because we have Christ. We do not only have a form of devoutness, but deny the true power. In fact, we don't have any forms whatsoever, but we have the true power. It's one or the other. Either you have the form and no power, or you have no form and all the power available in the universe. That's what we have, all the power available in the universe to keep us in peace during times of war.